Welcome to Transformed People, Transformed Cities with Bill Johnson. This session is entitled, The Power of a Seed.
Take your Bibles, open to James chapter 1 and Luke 19. James 1 and Luke 19. We'll go to James first, so put a piece of paper or something in Luke 19. All right, James chapter 1. I want to continue in a series that I started way back towards the beginning of summer. And we've done 4 weeks. This week will be the fifth. I believe the next one, I'll try to finish it at 6 weeks. But it's on the renewed mind, which, you know, is not a new subject for us. I talk about it a lot. So it's like, it may get redundant, but I feel like I'm supposed to talk about it till we get it. If that makes sense. The Lord is doing something. Have you noticed he does things in layers? You finally get it settled, and then he peels back another layer. It's like another layer of the onion. This issue of the renewed mind is such a big deal for this reason. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is the key to complete personal transformation. In fact, transformation is not complete until there's a renewing of a mind. You can have addiction broken off. You can have healed parts of your body. You can have a lot of things happen to you, forgiveness of sin, but there's not transformation until there's a renewing of the mind. And the reason I've been trying to target this is we've been targeting the whole subject, the whole staff. Our heart just beats with this theme of cities being transformed until nations are transformed. And so this is the thing that just kind of drives us. It's what we eat and sleep and drink. It's what, when we think of planning, everything is about entire cities being impacted. It's way bigger than any particular ministry or any particular church. It's just that we all have a role to play, to contribute to citywide transformation, nationwide transformation. A nation won't be transformed until there are cities transformed. Cities aren't transformed till there's people that are transformed. And people aren't transformed apart from the renewing of the mind. So the beginning, the seed of the transformation of a nation comes by you and me seeing and thinking differently. The Lord is very intent on teaching us a shift in perspective. He actually thinks that in order to go high, you have to go low. It's just the way he thinks. He actually thinks that to receive, you'll have to give. It's not a second reaction. It's in the context. He actually thinks there's enough food in a boy's lunch to feed thousands. It's just how he thinks. He thinks differently. He thinks you actually have to die to live. And all these standards that he sent were not inspirational token statements or verses or lessons. They are the heartbeat of a person with a renewed mind. The renewed mind considers a miracle logical. The Lord is working to train us. And he trains us obviously through Scripture. But Scripture must bring us into an encounter. Because it's not the mere study of Scripture or even the memorizing Scripture that transforms the mind. It's the fact that this leads to that. There's the encounter with the Lord. Sometimes it's dramatic, and my favorite is the dramatic. I was telling the school this week about one of the most dramatic encounters I've ever seen anybody have in my life was my wife. We were in Toronto, and we had walked to the meeting. I think we walked to the meeting that night. And I told the students, I said, I walked to church with a lamb. I walked back to the hotel with a lion. I don't know what happened, but something happened there that changed. I didn't know that stuff was in there. I didn't know she had the capacity for that kind of fierce, you know, approach to life. I mean, something literally happened in a moment of time. And I love the extreme encounters with the Lord, but I also know this in my own experience. That some of the most profound impact of the presence of the Lord on my life has been when I have responded to the most subtle touch of God, and I've given him a chance, time, time, silence, stillness for him to do something in me. What could have, it would have been easy to pass by. It would have been easy to ignore. It would have been easy to just put it in a category as just another nice day. But stepping aside, as Moses turned aside to the burning bush, it says, when he turned aside, the Lord spoke. When we change our agenda for divine encounters, no matter how extreme or simple they are, when we turn aside, that's literally when we attract the voice and the presence of God to come much more deeper and much more profound. And so that is this issue of the renewing of the mind. It has to do with divine encounter. Now, one of the things that I taught, I want to just mention briefly, and then we'll move quickly into this passage. One of the things I talked to you about is, in order for us to live with a renewed mind, we have to have a biblical perspective on our past. And in Romans 6, because Jesus died and our old nature died with him, in verse 13 it says, even so, consider yourself dead to sin. Think of yourself in this way. I am dead to sin. Dead people can't sin. That's the way you're supposed to think of yourself. I didn't say it's impossible for you to sin. I wish that were true. I wish it were true that once you come to Christ, you could never sin. The point is that when you see the impact of the cross and the old nature crucified with Christ, if you sin, you cannot blame your old nature. You're not imprisoned by a nature that is out of control and these things just happen. The devil made me do it, or my old nature made me do it. We have to have a shift in perspective where it's not a faith in us, it's not a self-confidence. It is a faith in the effective work of Calvary. It is central to the gospel that we believe that sacrifice was enough, nothing else. It's faith in Christ and no more. It is that alone that transforms a person's life. Now, in this issue of transformation because of the renewing of the mind, we're going to look at one parable that I've taught on before a number of times, and even recently. I think I maybe even mentioned it this last week at the Transformational Strategic Takeover the Milky Way conference that we had at school. That was basically intergalactic strategies for influencing here and other planets, something like that, yeah. Slight exaggeration, which is a great event. We had, I don't know, 195 people or so that were there. It's just wonderful. In fact, we have some that are still here in town. I think I may have talked about it then. I know I did this last week in our school, but I want to do it again just because I need to put it into the perspective of the renewing of the mind. Here's what I want to talk about. Oftentimes, we weigh our spirituality, we weigh our measure of faith, our measure of success, our measure of maturity by outcome instead of our ability to embrace and celebrate process. Process is one of the most important parts of the Christian life that I believe is seriously misunderstood. So I'm going to look at how we handle problems and how we handle blessing. All right, let's move on. Oh, I told you to turn to James. What did I do? I turned there and then I closed the Bible. Not too good. All right, here we go. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I think we're going to have a renewed mind to fulfill that verse. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Do the math. If you do the math from divine perspective, you will have no other option but to get really happy. I really believe that there is in every problem is a seed of kingdom explosion, of advancement and promotion. The key to breakthrough is in how you handle the problem. Loaves and fishes, thousands of people to feed. What did Jesus do? He gave thanks for what he had. And then he blessed it. And when he blessed it, he removed it out of natural restraint and moved it into a kingdom realm where multiplication is normal. There are some situations, people, that just need your thankfulness and blessing to transfer the situation from one that constantly gets bombarded by the powers of darkness to be moved into a realm where kingdom is manifest and demonstrated. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I don't know about you, but when I find these verses that are absolute like that, they really need special attention. There's this verse in Peter that says, do this, this, and this, you'll never stumble. That's an important verse. And here's this one, says, all right, do this for this reason, and you'll be perfect. If you do this for this reason, you will then be perfect. Got the same response from the stage. It's the same thing. We live having been bought with a price, with a decree made over us by God Himself. Everything that comes your way has a good ending because I'm in charge. All things work together for good. Everything that comes your way has a good ending because I'm in charge. Listen, fear steals. It robs us of life. Fear reduces one who can decree transformation into the world, reduces them to one who gives petitions, who makes petitions. Petitions aren't bad, but we work into a place where we make decrees to bring transformation, to release kingdom. But fear, what it does is it reduces us to a person who just asks God what we're unsure of Him even wanting to do, because fear is absent of love. Fear is like the John the Baptist of the demonic realm. It's a forerunner. It's the forerunner to the spirit that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Fear can only grab hold of what love hasn't grabbed hold of. Fear can only influence that which is not under the influence of love. Everything a trial, what happens is people become afraid and nervous that, oh no, this might happen, we might get this doctor's report, we might have this, you know, problem financially. All this stuff happens just out of the realm of fear. And the crazy thing is, fear is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It invites the very thing you're afraid of. Job said it himself, what I have feared has come upon me. Might that be the open door that brought the assault on his life? There's a confidence in the work of Christ that is available that has nothing to do with self-confidence. I like confidence in what God has called me to do, but I don't like self-confidence by itself, if that makes sense. Just a personal thing. It nauseates me. There are many folks that dabble in self-confidence, trying to beef themselves up, and have not caught sight of Jesus yet. And that's where the confidence is. It's in what He's done for us. It's what He's done through us. When a trial or difficulty comes, apparently, if you do the math right, there's a reason to get really happy. And somehow, when I get happy facing a problem, not only does it change me and impact the problem, but it horribly annoys the devil. And I think one of the absolute most marvelous tools that we have in our life is joy. And joy is understandable when there's great victory on the right and great victory on the left. Joy is supernatural in the midst of a crisis. And there's a measure and a realm of joy, of celebration. Listen, Psalms 2, I think it's verse 11, says, rejoice with trembling. So I've been working with folks for a long time on this one simple thought, rejoice with trembling. What does it mean? It means if you want joy, you might have to rejoice to get it. Well, why would I rejoice if I don't have joy? Well, when you were in the world, you did everything because you felt like it. Feelings determined your actions. In the kingdom, you do things because they're right, and the feeling follows. If you only do, people say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to rejoice when I'm not joyful. Oh, no, as a believer, you're only being hypocritical when you're governed by your feelings. See, we're called believers. Don't release your life to a feeler. In order to demonstrate I am a believer, it means faith must be expressed, and I'm going to have an action that is consistent with a superior reality which reigns over any problem that I am facing. And here's the cool thing, is that when you look at Jesus, when you look at the disciples, breakthrough came because of how they approached the problem. Paul in prison, singing hymns in the middle of the night after he'd been horribly beaten. Breakthrough comes because of response to a conflict and a problem. It's all the way through Scripture. But when we react in flesh or we react in fear, we actually empower the enemy to continue to steal because, in fact, fear is agreement with the enemy. That's the truth. Believing a lie empowers the liar. It's just the way it works. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, this is the familiar parable that I want to go over again today. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Let me stop because I need to explain the context. Jesus is about to give a story, a lesson, a parable to illustrate a truth. His entire motivation is because his disciples think the kingdom is going to appear immediately. They think that this vindication of God for his people Israel against the Romans is going to come through some heavenly military invasion. Jesus is going to be king of all. They get to sit the right hand of the left. And this thing is working really well. So well, Peter actually rebuked Jesus when he talked about dying. It's just not a smart idea. And so here is this anticipation of the 12. They've been expecting, Israel has been praying for this restoration. Restoration to the golden age when David and Solomon were king and they were the most prosperous, they were the most blessed, they were the most victorious, they were the healthiest as a nation. Everything worked well for them as a nation during that season of time. And Israel longs for that to be restored. And so here the disciples are following in that, but they think they've watched Jesus do the miracles. They've watched the resurrections, the multiplying of food, the walking on water, the stilling of storms. They've seen this stuff. And they think that this kingdom is now about ready to burst on the scene through some military invasion. Jesus will be king, and they get to participate in this reigning government. So Jesus brings to them a story to help adjust their perspective. Their perspective was partially correct. In what way? The suddenlies of God bring about radical transformation. But what people fail to see, most all of us, what we fail to see is the process that led up to the end suddenly. The 10 days of prayer between the resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost. Not much written about it, but it was the 10 days of prayer that prepared the 120 for the end suddenly. A rushing mighty wind came out of heaven. I love the end suddenlies, but it's the preparation we need to embrace and celebrate because it's the preparation that gets us into the sudden breakthroughs. So the disciples are in that mind saying, we're just waiting for the end suddenly. And Jesus says, wait a minute, I need to adjust your thinking here, your perspective on how this kingdom works. And so that's why he brings this story to them, verse 12. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country and received for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. A mina is a sum of money. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15, so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you are faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Now, I absolutely love this story. I love this story for a whole bunch of reasons, but for me, it helps to harness my soul in a sense where I don't have the improper expectations of the immediate invasion of God, but I learn to value the process. Here's what happens. Landowner meets with 10 of his servants. He gives them each, let's just say, $1,000. He says, I'm coming back. Don't know when. When I do, I'll bring you before me. Give me the profits. He gives them each $1,000. And then he says, so long. He leaves town. He comes back after a period of time. Says, okay, bring the servants. The first one who comes to him and says, Master, you're mine. I earned 10 with the one you gave me. And the master said, that's awesome. You did good. Now here's the end suddenly. I want you to be governor over 10 cities. It's not that the Lord doesn't have the immediate extreme breakthroughs. This promotion of a servant to a governor of 10 cities is about the same as Esther the servant to the Queen of Israel. It's an extraordinary promotion. And for those, we think a lot about promotion, advancement, increase. We think about that, but I'm not sure we always look at the biblical standard for those principles. And here's one of them, is that Jesus showed the daily stewardship of these servants with what they had been given. That was the key to their increase. And their increase in what they had in hand was the key to their breakthrough, to their dream. What is in the disciples' hearts? They want Jesus to rule over the earth. They want cities restored. They want nations to find their destiny. That's what's in the heart. That's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for the throne to be established. One will sit at the right, the left, scattered around the cabinet of Jesus. That's what they're waiting for. And Jesus says, it's not going to come that way. It's going to come by you taking what I put in your hands and using it correctly. And I will use that as the standard to determine what measure of breakthrough and promotion you can have. Here's the deal. The way we handle our problems determines our breakthrough. The way we handle our blessing determines our increase in favor. Jesus increased in favor with God and man. I understand the man part, but how one who is perfect has to increase in favor with God is a mystery to me. We've talked the subject in recent years about the need for increased favor. If the Son of God needed increase in favor, I think I might need a little bit of increase myself. You can't just walk around half-cocked, just quoting who you are in Christ and thinking that's going to work everything out. You have to steward well what's been given. In school this last week, school of ministry, I think this week or last week, I don't remember which, but sometime recently when I was in the school, I was talking about this subject, and I felt I was to give an illustration. I didn't know how it would work, to be honest with you, but I thought I'd take a risk to give the illustration. And I felt there was somebody in the room that had asked the Lord for $500 that morning. So I said, is there anybody here who asked the Lord for $500 this morning? And the lady sitting right down here, she said, I did. I said, well, come here. And I pulled money out of my pocket, and I gave her, I said, this isn't $500, but it's a 50. And if you see this correctly, there's 500 in the 50. There's an oak tree in the acorn. Renewed mind looks at the possibility of something small. Honestly, it's the reason there was no fear in Jesus for loaves and fishes to feed thousands. It's the exact reason. Is he knew that transferring this to another kingdom through blessing would put it into the atmosphere where increase is normal and natural. What are we talking about? We're talking about a shift in culture. A culture is like a greenhouse. A culture is shaped by how we think, how we view reality. It is shaped by our relationships, the way we value people, the way we relate to our own giftings. It's our belief system. All this stuff shapes culture. The Lord's been overhauling culture here in our hearts for quite a few years. He's working to change our culture so that kingdom culture can become city culture. Yeah. Now, here's what culture does. A correct culture is like a greenhouse. In fact, an evil culture is like a greenhouse. What a greenhouse is it's a controlled environment of moisture, light, temperature. Why? So that the seeds you want to grow will grow easily. Think about this. You've got to catch this. What are the seeds we want to grow easily in this city? A drawing for his presence, a confidence there's nothing impossible with him, a sense that I've been called to significance. All these things are things we want to be in the heartbeat of this city. Right. How does that happen? First, it has to get into us. But those seeds are being war. There's a war against those seeds, those thoughts, those ideals, those things that Jesus presents. What comes with the gospel, there's a war all over the nation against those ideals. How do you protect the right seeds? You create an environment, a greenhouse, a controlled environment. How is it done? It's done through culture. And the transformation of culture is what enables us to move more swiftly and more thoroughly, creating an environment where the kinds of things we want to happen happen naturally. They don't happen just intentionally on our part. They happen almost accidentally. In fact, the way I like to put it is this. When you host the presence of the Lord, you get a lot more stuff done by accident than you ever used to get done on purpose. It's the effect of an environment. It's a heavenly environment that rests on a person, on a family, on a church, on a city. Stuff happens simply because there was an atmospheric shift over a group of people. Culture. This is what the Lord is put on our heart, is to go after this issue of supernatural culture. What does kingdom culture look like? Well, this is a part of it right here. Paul put it in these words. He said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. I know how to have too much, and I know how to not have enough. And he came to this interesting conclusion. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how many of you know, when things are really going bad, we know we need God to strengthen us. We don't always have the same measure of conviction about needing his strength when things are going well. But that's the issue right there, is the issue, how to embrace and celebrate the blessing correctly so that it is used effectively to bring him honor and expand the kingdom. That's the issue. Let me back up. How many of you have prayed scary prayers? You've said, God, I want to raise the dead. I want everybody I pray for to get healed. I want cancer destroyed in this city. How many of you prayed for those kind of scary prayers? Most everybody in the room. If not, we'll help you afterwards. Come up and we'll pray with you. Here's what I want you to see. The moment you prayed the prayer, God, I want to raise the dead. Do you know what he did? The moment you prayed is he put the seed to that answer in your life. This gal came up. I gave her the $50 bill. What I found out later is she was in the grocery store, and there were some people in front of her that couldn't afford the groceries they had. She took her $50 bill, and she paid for their groceries, thinking, there goes my $50. But Proverbs says, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Yeah. And he has really good interest rates, 30, 60, 100-fold. It's awesome. It's a good deal. So that night, somebody walks up to her and hands her $500. The $500 was in the 50. Look at the thing that concerns you, grieves you, causes you to fear the most. That thing in your life has a seed for kingdom explosion if it's handled correctly. And the blessing that you've got going on, there is something in there that can qualify you for promotion and increase. But it must be handled well. There's the celebration of process. Kingdom says, the seed will produce what I need. The moment you prayed, I want to raise the dead, the Lord put things in your life to see, can she be entrusted with this measure of breakthrough? Will they successfully give me the honor and direct people's attention towards me? See, there are many people that have this idea, if somehow I just end up with a $1 million gift, then I would really be generous. You wouldn't. You wouldn't, because it's what's done in small things that mirrors what you're going to do in big things. That's the whole issue of stewardship. That's the point, is you can't have a lot to become generous. You learn generosity when you have little or nothing. These are seeds. Everything about our life is seed. The favor that you have, the insights that you have, the anointing on your life, the giftings, the friendships, the family, the history, the prophetic future, all this stuff, they're seeds in our life. And they're to be placed in an environment. What did Jesus do? He took the insufficient loaves and fishes, put them in an environment of thankfulness where he could bless it, and it was enough. Stunning. I would challenge you, take any situation you've got that you're facing that is every inadequacy is an occasion for God to receive glory through a supernatural breakthrough. Every inadequacy, every area where you fall short to what you need to be or need to do, every one of those is merely an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate himself strong. Why don't you stand? Now we've got a whole bunch of folks here from Frontline. Why don't you wave your hands? See, my brother's standing somewhere. Bob, where are you? I saw him. Oh, there he is. Hey, Bob. Hey, nice to see you. The Frontline pastor. All right. These are some of the greatest warriors for God in our city right here. Northern California. This is good. So glad. Here's what I want to ask for. How many of you, when you got up today, you prayed and you said, God, I've got to have a breakthrough today? Put a hand up. You prayed it. You said, I've got to have a breakthrough today. Keep your hand up. All right? You prayed that. It's not that you're thinking about it now. You thought about it this morning when you woke up. I've got to have a breakthrough today. People gather around them, pray. And I want you to declare the release, the breakthrough of the cry of their heart right now. Just pray. I want to hear you pray too. None of this quiet stuff. Lay hands on them. Pray. Prophesy. Release the anointing for breakthrough. Pray for wisdom regarding the seed that has already been put in their life. The seed is already there. Let the spirit of breakthrough, the God of the breakthrough, come upon each individual life right now. The God of the breakthrough. The God of the breakthrough. Just start confessing promises to the ones you're praying for. Just start speaking the promise of the Lord to them. I want to hear you actually making decrees. Declare the word of God over their life. The promises of God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, we're going to pray for one other group in just a moment. Just bless them. Turn around. Give me just a moment longer. How many of you like the story of the $50 turning into $500 in one day? Do you know what would happen to us if every breakthrough was like that? We'd have a racket going by the end of the week. 50 this morning, 500 tonight, 500 tomorrow morning. That's why seeking the principles of the kingdom above the presence of the king, it feels insincere, Chris. I don't want to judge your heart, though, but I'm so thankful. Never mind. It's all you have. Oh, the widow's mite. I'm just touched. I'm not sure how, but I am touched. We'd have a racket going by the end of a week if we could manipulate the principles of the kingdom to that end within 24 hours. That's why the Lord gives us quick breakthroughs so that we have the confidence to endure the long ones because we know what he's like. There's sometimes it is 24 hours. Sometimes it's sooner than that. Sometimes it's days and weeks. Some of you have been praying for stuff that's been going on for years. Jen brought a word this morning. I think it's a word of the Lord. In fact, she used the word process, that the process was coming to an end. I believe many of you that raised your hand just moments ago, the breakthrough is needed right now. I believe it's a done deal. I do. I believe it's a done deal. Had a great testimony this morning of, I shared a couple years ago, several years ago actually, of an encounter I had with the Lord where he spoke a word to me about the anointing for the day of the cancellation of debt was upon me. And great, great miracle. Wave your hand. Great, great miracle took place just this week, was it? Just a couple days ago. Absolute amazing, amazing miracle of all, can I say what it was? All the back child support that's not been paid for a long time, more than she would make in a year, is now enabling her to get out of debt completely. Thank you, Lord. It's awesome. All right, now we're going to pray for one more thing. Pray for one more thing. How many of you are in an unusual season of blessing? It's just been almost scary. Just put your hand up. Now lay hands on these people because they really need strength. Put your hand up. If that's you, put your hand up. Lay hands on them because I want you to pray. They really need strength because if they use the blessing correctly, it's the key. It's the key to their breakthrough in promotion. I didn't know I knocked it off. Yeah. Pray for the increase. The increase of favor. The blessing, the strength of the Lord on these lives right now, we pray. In Jesus' name. To know how to handle the favor is a big deal. Most of us know how to pray when there's a problem, but we don't always know how to pray with equal fervency when there's blessing. So Lord, I pray that we would handle blessing in a way that you're honored every single time. Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we pray for that. We pray that every one of these that are in a blessed season would be able to shine their light brightly, brightly, brightly in such a way that people just glorify Jesus. Amen. Let's lift up a shout of thanks and praise.
If you would like more information about this or any other product produced by Bethel Church, visit us online at www.ibethel.org or email us at customerservice@ibethel.org.